Welcome to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast, where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord.
Today we want to look at this thought once again, and I'm going to just use the thought directly from the scripture, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Joseph said, as for you, speaking to his brothers who sold him into slavery, says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Now, God didn't put it in their hearts to do it. God didn't tell them to do it. Otherwise, God would be responsible for their sin. The Bible says God doesn't sin. He doesn't tempt anyone to sin. So they had that evil in their heart, but God decided to bring good out of that evil, and he sent Joseph down to Egypt. So Joseph said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The bad things going on in your life today, you need to understand that God can take those bad things. Don't get too upset about it, because God can take those bad things and turn them into a stepping stone for you to become a prime minister or a governor or something special in your line of work. Somebody said, glory to God. Hallelujah. So we saw last two weeks, how Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, how God turned it to good, and Joseph became governor of Egypt, and his brothers came down to buy grain from him and bowed down before him. And so Joseph saw his dream fulfilled after about 20, 21, 22 years. But after the death of Joseph, as we saw last week, the death of Joseph and his brothers, their descendants were enslaved in Egypt. So they're kind of right back where they started from. Joseph started out as a slave. Now all of his descendants are slaves. They cry out to God, and God sends Moses with many plagues, and Pharaoh finally lets them go, only to change his mind and start chasing them after they left. And so in Exodus 14, verse 9, we pick it up there where we left off last week. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea. As Pharaoh approached, verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Can you just imagine? They were trapped by the sea and the row of mountains that come down and formed a V. They were trapped. There was no place to go. They were dead people. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still. And some of you need this verse right here, right now, today. And if I was you, I take this reference. I go home and I memorize this and I quote it to the devil every day. And quote it to myself and quote it to the Lord. Verse 13, and Moses said, Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord gave that to me personally many years ago, and the Lord gave it to me 4 years ago for the United States of America. God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You can look around, and it's amazing the horrible things we're going through, but God is saying, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, and all you should say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Don't forget, we live here. We need God to bless this place. You see, we can be assured that God is fighting for us against the secular humanists and the Marxists, even though we may not see it. God has a plan, and God is working. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The Lord was using an angel to lead them out of Egypt, and this angel was in this big pillar of a cloud, and they were following the angel in the cloud. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. So when the Egyptians are approaching, about to slaughter God's people, this angel moves and stands between the vicious Egyptian soldiers and chariots and stops them dead still, because It says darkness covered that side, but light covered the Israelite side, and it stopped the Egyptian army. Now, who could do that but God? You say, well, that's the kind of miracle I need. Well, get ready. And you say, amen. I said, get ready. This cloud came between. There's one verse that says, by night it was a pillar of fire. And so it says night. So I just assume after dark that thing turned into a pillar of fire. And yet it from the fire it produced darkness on the Egyptian side and light on the Israelite side. Now coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel, throughout the night the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. So God had a plan. No one could see it, but God's working in this nightmare to bring good out of it. Amen. The Lord, and one good that came out is that great promise. And God spoke to me years ago. He said, every promise in my word is for you, because they were my people and you're my people, and those promises are for my people. Amen. The Lord divided the water of the sea, and a strong wind turned it into dry ground. Verse 22, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. The Egyptians, verse 23, pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. Bad idea. You know, a lot of people have a word from God, and they take off and do it, and it works perfectly. Other people look at that and say, oh, they did it, I can do it, and it doesn't work for them. What's the difference? The first group had a word from God. Get you a word from God before you go running into the Red Sea. Okay. But the Lord made the wheels of the chariots come off. It says that God took their wheels off their chariots, so they're chasing. The Israelites through the sea without wheels. How would you like it if somebody took the wheels off of your car? You wouldn't get very far. Okay. The Egyptians said, verse 25, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. The Lord is fighting against them, is fighting for them against Egypt. What did Moses say? What did God say through Moses? Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians which you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And these Egyptians sure didn't hear Moses say that, but when they're in the middle of it, they realize, hey, their God is fighting for them. Let's get out of here. But too late. Amen. Verse 27, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. Now the Lord could enable them to rise up and fight the Egyptians and kill them with the sword, but God just did it the easy way. I'm glad when God does it the easy way. Sometimes God just does it the easy way. And sometimes it seems like he allows us to go through the, do it the hard way. Sometimes we do it the hard way because it was our idea, not his. But it says, not one of them survived. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. I found that to be true my whole life through. He's still fighting for me. Don't mess with me. You see, they picked a fight with the wrong people. These secular humanists, and Marxists, they're picking a fight with the wrong people. They're picking a fight with the Church of the Living God. You can't win that, folks. You can't win that. Amen. Especially when you have people that stand on the Word of God, and they're not afraid to take a stand and grin and say, the Lord's going to fight for me. You better run while you can. So what makes you so bold? Because I've been pastoring this church for 100 years. Hey, and the devil sent every kind of wolves and sheep club you can think of, every kind of demon, every kind of thing you can imagine. And every time God has protected me and watched over me and provided for me, and I came out grinning on the other side every time. And God does stop working miracles when we leave Egypt. Some people have the greatest testimony. I was on drugs and alcohol. You know, I was sleeping with 400 women a year. You know, and all kinds of the wickedness. God delivered me out of all of it. And that seems to be the last miracle they ever expect. I discovered as a young boy, if I live for God, I can expect miracles every day of my life. Amen. Why? Because he calls me to do things I really can't do, and I have to have miracles to get it done. People say, well, I'm not very smart. Well, that gives God even more room to work great miracles. You know, I don't hear a lot of people accusing me of being smart, but somehow God always makes me look pretty smart most of the time. Because he tells me what to do and I do it. Oh, look how smart he is. Yeah, look how smart God is. Okay. Learn to listen to him. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter, and they threw a fit. Moses, do you know what you're doing? You're leading us around out here. Yeah, you got us through the Red Sea, but now we need water. And so God turned the water sweet. I ain't got time to go into all these details. I'm on a mission today. Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. The Israelites said to them, you have brought us out of this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They didn't have anything to eat. And God, you know the story, God rained down manna, sent quail into the camp. So they complained all the way to the promised land just like we do. We look at them and say, those crazy people, they just kept complaining. We do the same thing. Dottie gave me and Dottie $1 million house. And I complained, this thing is too far from the church. The traffic is horrible. It takes me forever to get to church. That swimming pool, it's a lot of work. These crazy people planted trees over the swimming pool. And right now there's 40,000 million. There's millions of leaves falling in that pool. I hate this pool. Dottie finally said, if you don't quit saying that, God's going to strike you dead. Complaining because I have to live in $1 million house. And you laugh, but you do the same thing. We need to make up our mind. We're going to praise God a little more often. Can you say amen? Yes, we got big problems. This country's got big problems, but we're still doing better than anybody else in the world. If you can't recognize that, well, then you need to get on your knees and repent, because God has blessed us in spite of ourselves. The only thing wrong with America is some bad people. Amen. We get those bad people saved, it'd be a good place. Verse 13. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. Have you ever seen quail come flying into your camp? You've been camping and quail just come flying in and land and say, eat me. Well, that's what happened. See, God is providing. They're out of Egypt. God has worked a great miracle. He brought all the plagues, led them through the Red Sea, divided the water. And I know a lot of you say, well, I don't believe that. Secondly, he said, I don't believe that. Well, that's why they have no peace and joy. They have to have all these psychiatrists because they don't believe the Word of God. I believe every word of it. And when I read these stories, it builds my faith that if God delivered them, he can deliver me. And so far, it's worked for all these years. They're missing the best life has to offer because they've been deceived by Satan. They think they're smart, but the devil's laughing at them all the way to hell. Yes. And don't be in that crowd. Amen. I said, don't be in that crowd. If you're in that crowd, you need to get out while you still can before the water comes back on you. Yes. 13, that evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And I prayed about that, and God gave me a revelation what that was. It was frosted cornflakes. I used to think it was Cheerios, but it says plainly, flakes like frost. Let me think, I need to go back to seminary for another year or two. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. I will stand there before you by the rock. at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. And that time God did say, strike the rock. He struck the rock, and they had plenty of water. You see, they do not know it, but they are on a mission to change the world. God has chosen them. It was to them that God gave the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments. Approximately 3,000 years later, the greatest nation in the world was built upon these laws and commandments of God. People say, well, that's not true. No, it is true. This is why Moses and the Ten Commandments are engraved on the outside of the Supreme Court building. It was because this nation was built on the Ten Commandments and the other commandments of God's Word. You can deny that all day long, but there it is, right there on the outside of the Supreme Court building. The people preaching and teaching that hate Christianity. They hate God. They want to get rid of Him. And so they'll stop at no lie. I'm a history major, thank God. I wondered why in the world God made me be a history major when I was called to preach. And now I know why. Because now I can look at America and see a lot of things other people can't see. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes for our good always and for our survival as it is today. America cannot survive without the Word of God. Many of our founding fathers, at least some of our founding fathers, said this Constitution, this government is designed to be to govern moral people. If they're not good moral people that live by the Word of God, this government will not work. And that's one reason we're having such a hard time working it right now, is because so many people deny God, deny the commandments. Well, just do whatever feels good, whatever is right for you. Well, that doesn't work very well. There are no absolutes. Well, I came to tell you there are, and you deny it all you want to, but if you break them, they'll break you. Just saying, I don't believe it, it doesn't change a thing. God still holds us responsible for every one of these commandments. Let's look at it one more time. Deuteronomy 6:24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes for our good always. God's word is given for our good. And you think, oh, I don't want to do all these restrictive rules. You know, it's just too much. Well, let me tell you something. If you break those rules, you're going to wind up broken. I've been a long time. I've watched people break God's rules. Oh, I got to have my drugs, got to have my alcohol. The next thing I'm doing a funeral. Well, I'm not submitting all these sexual morals and all this sexual morality. And then they bring in babies they didn't want, venereal diseases they didn't want. And some of them wind up shooting themselves because they're so depressed because they broke God's law. You want to live that way? That's your business. But I'm a preacher. And if I don't tell you the truth, your blood will be on my hands. And that ain't going to happen. He said, amen. Don't mean to make anybody mad. And remember, I have to try to live it too. I don't just get to preach it and walk away. People make it sound, well, they're just being so brutal and so mean and hard on me. No, we have to live by the same book. But I'm telling you, it's worth all the trouble. It pays big dividends to live by God's word. You see, under this time, no one had received written commandments from the Lord. You understand? That Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they didn't have a written code to live by. They just, I guess, whatever was passed down from Adam and Eve, you know, and prophets and different ones that God has spoken to. But until this time, no one had received written commandments from the Lord. Acts chapter 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before you. And this is why the secular humanists hate the Ten Commandments, really. They hate any restriction, but look at the first part. You shall have no other gods before me. They don't like that. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a graven image. They have taken man and turned him into God. Well, just whatever you feel is good. You're God. Man's not God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make for yourself a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. There's the first three, and they all deal with God. And I think the fourth one also deals with God because it's called the Lord's Day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. So 4 out of 10 addresses having a relationship with God. Well, no wonder they say the Ten Commandments is not relevant. Because they've gotten rid of God. Read the Humanist Manifesto. Don't take my word for anything. It says plainly that man is created by unguided evolution. There is no God. Don't take my word for anything. Most of you got smartphones. All you got to do is Google the Humanist Manifesto and the Communist Manifesto too. Don't do it now. Wait till after church. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Oh, boy. The secular humanists in our schools do not honor that. They tell them, don't you listen to your parents. Absolutely, they do. You do what you feel is right. If you feel like having an abortion at 12 years old, you don't need to tell your parents. They do that all the time. At least that's what I've heard. Remember, I pastor people. I hear a lot of things. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. How many of you think that's pretty good so far? How many of you want somebody trying to kill you? How many of you want somebody trying to commit adultery with your wife or your husband? How many of you want somebody stealing your stuff? How many people lying to you and deceiving you and cheating you? Well, my Bible says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If we started living by these Ten Commandments today, all crime in America would stop today. Is that simple? I've given you these commandments for your good. Amen. Secondly, humanists totally deny the existence of God. They do not want any restrictions. This is the reason many of them and the Marxists want to burn America down and replace it. They hate America because it was founded on the Ten Commandments and the laws of the Bible, and that's just the facts. You can go back and do your own homework. The Declaration of Independence proves this nation was built on the Word of God. Listen to this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator. Well, the secular humans have a big problem with that. They do not believe there's a creator. They believe in evolution somehow. I don't know where the world's supposed to have come from, but it's here and evolution created us. Wow, isn't that miraculous? Whoo, evolution created a human being. A little fish grew legs and crawled out on the ground and put on a suit and tie, and here we are. Woo! I won't tell you what I think of those people, but they're not very smart. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their creator with certain and unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they always bring up the fact, but those people had slaves. Yes, they did, but we don't have any slaves today. They realized this didn't cover the slaves, so now we don't have any slaves. And to set the slaves free, hundreds of thousands of white boys died on the battlefield to set them free. Why can't we just forgive those people for the sin of slavery and live our lives with always looking back and hating people that's already in hell? Okay. You ought to go to hell for hating people that's already in hell? I don't. The Bible says if you do not forgive, you'll not be forgiven, and that means everybody. The secular humanists have a problem with this. You see, their plan is to replace freedom of religion with freedom from religion. You can see signs everywhere, freedom from religion. You can't have freedom from religion and have freedom of religion. Freedom from religion means I can't put up any signs anywhere. They have a right to be totally free. I can't preach the gospel on the radio, TV, anywhere else, internet. They have the right to be free from religion, and it shuts my freedom of religion, the freedom of religion, down because they have freedom from religion. That can't happen in America. That's insane. Wake up while you still can. After you change, you are shot dead, you won't be able to do anything. The ACLU, and this just shows you right here, the ACLU, which is, and a lot of our young kids don't even know this stuff, but I lived it. The ACLU, which is a secular humanist organization, used the Supreme Court to remove prayer, Bible reading, and the Ten Commandments from our public schools when I was in high school. That's been a long time ago. And ever since that time, they've been poisoning our young people. And they actually said years ago, their goal was to teach our kids this garbage. And they have done it. And the kids you see out in the street, you know, all the rioting and stuff, it's kind of amazing to me, they're nearly all white. They're trained by white professors. As anarchists and as Marxists. And they've totally forgotten why they're supposed to be out there. How long has it been since you heard the name of George Floyd? Do we want social justice? Do we want our policemen to be godly people and do what's right? You better believe it. And we demand it.
Amen.
But these kids, I don't blame them so much as I do the secular humanists in our high schools and universities, and now elementary school and middle school, teaching our kids all this stuff, and a lot of them don't know any better. They don't even know the truth. Well, preacher, do you know what you're talking about? Yes, because there was a school system in the state of Tennessee that sent letters to their parents. This made national news, asking them to sign a letter they would not eavesdrop on their teachers and their children while they're doing virtual education in their homes. They don't want their parents knowing what their kids are being taught. Wake up. Amen. Don't make me say amen to my own preaching. These people, this is not a guess, man. You can look around and see it for yourself, do a little study. They use the Supreme Court to remove prayer, Bible reading, and the Ten Commandments from our public schools. Well, even when I was still a teenager. Then, through the federal courts, they have legalized abortion and same-sex marriage. Now they're trying to use the courts to force Christians to pay for abortions, participate in gay marriages, to limit Christians' freedom to practice faith in the public place. You see, this is a reason they do not want Christians on the Supreme Court. These people have been deceived by Satan, and they're doing everything they can to remove God from everything, and they're trying to use the federal courts to do it, and they have done it. And I dare anybody to prove anything I've said right there wrong. You can't. You can deny it. Stick your hand in the sand. I stuck my head in the sand. Now look at me. My generation turned their back on God's word and adopted secular humanism. I mean, I was right there. I watched them. Girls burning their bras, demanding to live in the boys' dorm. Boys demanding to live in the girls' dorm. I remember when they all started having boys and girls living together in the dorms. All of that stuff. And then, of course, they had to have abortion to get rid of the evidence of their sin. Amen. Sometimes the truth is just hard, folks. And what is wrong with America? There's not enough preachers that are bold enough to just say it like it is. We don't start saying it like it is, we're not going to have the freedom to say it like it is. I decided to go ahead and start saying it while I can. It says work while it's day. Don't wait till it's too late. America is in trouble today because my generation adopted the immorality of the secular humanists, and I've watched it all these years. Israel turned their back on God too. It's a dangerous thing to turn your back on God. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. While Moses was on the mount receiving the commandments from God, they rejected the word, they rejected the God who had delivered them. While the Ten Commandments were still being written by the finger of God in stone, they were already rebelling against the God that brought them out of Egypt. They gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." Aaron made an idol, a golden calf. This is basically what the secular humanists have done. They have made their own God, their God. Man is God, just whatever he feels like doing is fine. Well, it's not, because what he feels like doing will hurt other men. They created their own religion, and America has bought it. And we need to give it right back to them. Verse 7, then the Lord said to Moses, go down because your people. He quit calling them my people. He said, your people. Okay. He said, Moses, your people. Go down because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt. Who brought them up out of Egypt? God did. But he's landing on Moses. Of course, he used Moses. Whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They've become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed it and have said, these are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. They're giving the deliverance out of Egypt. They're giving that credit to a golden calf they made. Verse 10, now leave me alone, God says, but leave me alone that I may destroy them. But Moses fell down before God. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. Oh, God, don't do that. And in Psalm 106, verse 23, it says, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath. You see, like Moses, we can say, intercede for America and believe God to spare America. Can you say amen? If he spared these rebels, he can spare the rebels, this rebellious nation. Amen. And you see, God is working through history. He's working through the lives of these Israelites, and they don't even know it. He used them to produce the great commandments, and his commandments that all over the world is preached and taught today, all over the world. God used these rebels to use them to bring that good thing out of them. The Ten Commandments, or at least use them to produce the Ten Commandments. After all this, they made it to the Promised Land. Just bear with me here, because I want to show you. I'm showing you something here. After all this, they made it to the Promised Land, and the 12 spies went in and came back with a bad report. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we shall go up and take possession of the land, for we are well able. We need to quit sitting back and saying we can't do anything. We need to ask God, what can we do? And we need to get out there and do it. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are, and so they create a rebellion. Verse 33, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. If you keep seeing yourself as a grasshopper, other people are going to see you as a grasshopper. If you see yourself as a failure and a loser, other people are going to start seeing you as a failure and a loser. If you see yourself as a dirty old worm, other people are going to start seeing you as a dirty old worm. Stop it. With no place to go, they wouldn't go in the Promised Land. They couldn't go back to Egypt because Pharaoh would have killed every one of them. With no place to go, they wandered around in the wilderness fighting wars and with nations who were threatened by them. They conquered several nations, and that's where they were for 40 years. They would conquer a nation that they didn't start the fight, but once it started, they finished it, and then they would move into their villages and take over their property. That's how they lived for 40 years before they went into the Promised Land. Y'all pay attention. It would have been easier for them just to have went on into the Promised Land and took it. The 40 years after fighting battles. Well, one of those nations that were scared of them was Moab, Balak. And that's where Balaam came in. Balak, king of Moab, was so terrified of them that he hired a sorcerer, Balaam, to put a curse on them. Balaam tried to curse God's people, but God was working in the background to turn the curse into a blessing. The children of Israel didn't even know this was going on. And keep in mind who they are. They have rebelled against God. Even though God worked all those miracles, brought them through the Red Sea, turned the bitter water sweet, brought manna down out of heaven to feed them, cornflakes, and brought quail into the camp and gave them victory over the enemies that fought against them, brought them up the Promised Land. They still refused to trust God, refused to go in. And now they're wandering around in the wilderness, and Balaam is trying to put a curse on them, and God protects these rebels. This is where we've been going the whole time. Balaam tried to curse God's people, but God was working in the background to turn the curse into blessing. And I believe that's what is happening in America. If you and me, if we'll really repent and turn from our wicked ways and call on heaven, God will deliver this land. Amen. And heal us. Well, what about racism? God can and must heal that too. Amen. Numbers 23, verse 20, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. When Balaam finally went, he really did try to put a curse on them because he wanted to collect that money. And God put this in his mouth. Listen, I have received a command to bless from God. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Israel is down there in the valley. They don't even know what's going on. Even though they're rebels, they wouldn't go into the promised land. You know, if I'd been God, I probably would have just burned them up. And if I was God, I'd probably burn up myself a long time ago. Verse 21, because I haven't been perfect either. Verse 21, no misfortune is seen in Jacob. Now look, God is looking at Jacob. Look what God sees. No misfortune is seen in Jacob. No misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. Even though they're rebels, the shout, God's seeing things those people don't even see. And when they all die off, he raises up their kids. And this is what they become. He sees it evidently in their kids. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob. And God says, there's nobody can put a curse on my people. And if they do, I'll turn it to blessing. And besides that, today we have authority over every sorcerer and witch. He said, you believe those people exist? The Bible says they do. But I don't worry about them because I got authority over every one of them. There is no sorcery against, you have to understand, I believe everything in the Bible because it's always proven to be true in my own life. And I've met some witches, and I guarantee you they really had power. But I wasn't afraid of them. I even had a couple of them came, my friend. You're friends with the witch? Yeah, but I had authority over them. You can be friends with all kinds of people, can't you say amen? You just can't let them get the authority over you. Verse 23, there is no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. God's got plans for you and me. He's got plans for this nation. The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion that does not rest until he devours his prey and drinks the blood of his victims. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2, he addresses this very subject about Moab and Balak. It says that Balak hired Balaam. This is Nehemiah 13, 2. Hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Well, God can't bless me. Look at all the bad things I've done. If God can bless these people, he can bless you. He protected them. Even though they were rebels, he protected them and kept them safe. They defeated their enemies, took over their farms, their properties, and lived there until God took their kids into the promised land. Whoa. Y'all paying attention? And don't come up to me after church and say, oh, we love Dottie's story. These were implying you didn't like mine. Now, these were my stories. These were some of the most rebellious people on earth. But look how God saw them. The Lord is their God. The Lord their God is with them. They have strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob. There's no sorcery against my people. The Lord, the people rise like a lioness. And then God turned that curse into a blessing. This is the way God sees America and his people. But we must repent and turn back to his commandments. We can't go around doing what feels good. Because what feels good to me can hurt you. Can you say amen? And some of these young teenage boys, it feels good to them to chase after your daughter. But it's not good for her and good for you when she gets pregnant. Whatever feels good. That doesn't work. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Be a good neighbor like the Samaritan. You see somebody hurting, even though it may cost you money, you go help them and pull them out of the ditch. And that applies to black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people. God says we're all to be like the good Samaritan. If we'll live like that, there will be no racism. And that's the word of God. That's all I came to tell you, is the word of God. You see, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Joseph said, as for you, you meant evil against me. You know, people may mean evil against you, but that's okay. God will turn it to good. God meant it for good. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes for our good always and for our survival. That's the way you got to get back to the Bible. My generation turned their backs on God's word and adopted secular humanism. Now we must repent.
Thanks for listening to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe. For more information about our church, visit knoxvillechristianctr.org.